Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving Fireball Hot Take Friday. Oh, my goodness. We got so much to get to. The draft is less than a week away. The Money Day, which we haven't spent a ton of time on, is 1 week away. Rounds two and three, the Titans are going to have three picks. If they trade down, they could have four picks in on next Friday. I mean, that is the Money Day, is next Friday, rounds two and three. And then, of course, the Predators, a big one tonight at Chicago. So we have an absolutely loaded show. Caroline Fenton, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm doing great. I'm sitting here, you know, I just look at how many people are watching this show and how many people are listening to this show, and I'm just like, wow. I mean, I think, I don't know if it's me or if it's Caroline. I'm going to guess me.
I like to think
just
that
to make
it's
myself
me.
Feel better. But I know in my heart it's probably Caroline.
Let's, I like let's, to think let's keep that it's it real. Me, but you're wonderful as well.
Let's be honest with people. It's probably Caroline. Okay, mock draft. And I know we've been over we've done every mock draft, right? Todd McShay's mock draft, Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay together's mock draft, Dane Brugler's mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. I get it. We've done them all. But I found this one to be very fascinating. Not so much of how the mock plays in terms of, can you believe this guy's going 13th? But how the night plays and how it affects the Titans. So the Athletic, all of their 32 beat writers, all, I guess, got on some kind of chat or Zoom or something. I don't know. And they went out and they made their picks. And I like this. And the reason I like it is because, no offense, but how much does Mel Kiper Jr. really know about the Titans? Like, I'm not knocking Mel, I'm not knocking Todd, but ESPN Plus is Todd McShay's draft needs for every team. How many Arizona Cardinal games does Todd McShay watch? So I'm just like, okay, I'd rather hear what the local guys say. And ESPN does this with their nation writers too, and TD obviously picks when it's the Titans' turn. But Joe Rexroad, bad take Joe, he was on the clock for the Titans. And I think the draft, you know, these are beat writers, so they know their local guys. Trevor Lawrence, 1, Zach Wilson, 2, Mac Jones, 3. Atlanta, Torrey McElhaney of The Athletic, Justin Fields, 4. So there's kind of the first surprise. The Cincinnati beat writer has Ja'Marr Chase. But as I was just scrolling through, every time I see one of these mock drafts, I go right down to 22 where the Titans are picking. And as I pass some names as I was going through, 11, Dan Duggan, who covers the New York Giants, Azeez Ojulari. So that's one name that we've talked about a lot. That is a name I think, I'm not sure I've made it overly clear, Caroline, but I feel like it's probably pretty clear that I probably want Ojulari the most.
That's fair.
So Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher at Georgia, he's off the board. That's gone. In fact, goes before Devontae Smith in this mock draft, which is another thing to think about. Then 14, Minnesota, Arif Hassan goes Jalen Phillips. So, again, there's all these different edge rushers in the draft, whether it's those two guys, Gregory Rousseau out of Miami, Quiddy Pay out of Michigan, Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. But those are the two that I've circled in the first round that I've said, hey, if they're there at 22, I think you got to take them. I think you have to take Ojulari. I think you have to take Jalen Phillips if one of those two are there. In fact, in this mock draft, Jalen Phillips is at 14. J.C. Horn is at 15. Now, again, Horn, I don't expect Horn or any of the receivers, the top three, Chase, Waddle, Smith, I don't expect any of those guys to get close to the Titans. If they do, we probably have to readjust our thinking. So then it keeps going on through, and I see something, you know, Miami at 18, Najee Harris, according to Josh Tolentino. Then come the Titans at 22. And so I go down to 22 and I see Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And I thought, Joe, you screwed it up. But that's the Green Bay Packers at 22 who are trading to pick Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Here's the trade. Tennessee sends pick number 22 to the Packers. And in exchange, they get 29 and 92. 92 is in the third round. So Joe, and we've talked about trading back and what you would get if you trade back, Joe trades back. And he ends up taking at 29, Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. And we have talked and talked and talked and talked about Elijah Moore. And the reason I looked at this, and Joe tweeted out and said, how did I do, you know, for the fans? You know, hey, read my thing. What do you think? How did I do? How did you, whatever. But let me say this. I think what Joe did is exactly what I think the plan is Thursday night. Joe Rexroth, I think that's the plan. That you go into this with about three or four names that you've got that you really like. And if they're not there, Azeez Ojulari gone at 11, Jalen Phillips gone at 14, J.C. Horn gone at 15, you trade down, get a receiver you like, Elijah Moore, you get a player you like, plus you pick up another player by getting the 92nd pick in the draft. I would love to bag on Joe. You know me. I would love to look at Joe's draft and break my iPad, you know, over how mad I am at what a bad pick Joe makes, and then call Joe and tell him he owes me $500 or however much the iPad is because I had to throw it because his take was so bad. But this is exactly how I feel like Monday or Thursday night's going to go. That I think that the guys I really want, we've talked about this, Caroline. Mm-hmm. We've seen mock drafts and big boards that have Azeez Ojulari at 33 or Azeez Ojulari at 28. And I've said all along, man, when Mike Tannenbaum put him at 11 to the Giants in his mock draft, I said, there is no way Azeez Ojulari lasts until 22. I have heard TD said Jalen Phillips, he doesn't think it's going to be there at 22. So the guys that I really want, it looks like they're not going to be there. Elijah Moore is a guy that I think a lot of us would like. A lot of us, you know, TD loves him, and it keeps coming up. I think Joe played it right. The one thing, everybody who loves Elijah Moore, whether it's Mel Kiper, who wrote it at ESPN this past week, whether it's TD, who said it on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, is that even if you love Elijah Moore, you can still trade down and get him. And now you've added another player. And so I'm looking at Joe's mock draft, and we'll get to his second round pick, and we'll get to the, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, would you take, here are the guys that are taken after that slot at 22. And Caroline, I'm going to ask you this. Would you take these guys over the extra player you're going to get at 92?
Okay.
Rashad Bateman at 23.
At 23, I would take him.
Well, no. I'm saying, would you take the extra player instead? These are the guys you're going to miss out on.
These are the guys you're
by trading back to 29.
Okay.
These are the guys you cannot draft, but you are getting an extra player.
Okay.
So, for example, Hunter Long, the tight end out of Boston College. Some people have him ranked as a fourth round guy. He's got nice size. He's got nice productivity. I think he can block. And we know Vrabel has an affinity for Boston College, and he plays right next to Vrabel's son. So, I think there's probably a chance that's a pretty good fit. He's projected as a third or fourth round guy. You get the 92nd pick. Now you have three picks in the third round. One of those can be your tight end. So, again, here are the players that Joe's passing on by trading out of the 22nd slot and going to 29. Jeremiah Owosu-Koromoa, Notre Dame. Would you rather have him or the extra player?
Extra player.
Okay. Rashad Bateman, him or the extra player?
Extra player.
Quiddy Pay. Him or the extra player?
Extra player, for sure.
Christian Barmore, him or the extra player, 25 to Jacksonville.
That's a tough one. I think Christian Barmore could be super productive, and I think that he would fit in well with the Titans. But that being said, I think the only players that I really would not be okay with passing on would be Azeez Ojulari, Jalen Phillips, and Gregory Newsom. Those would be the three that I would stand pat at 22 for. And, of course, any of the top three wide receivers that we're looking at, any of those guys that are projected to go way before 22. If they fall to 22, you have to take them, such as a Jalen Waddle, such as J.C. Horn.
If J.C. Horn is there, I mean, like, if
you're taking J.C. Horn at 22.
See, this is the other thing. Once you start to get to 17 and J.C. Horn is still there or Devontae Smith is still there, now we got a conversation we got to start having.
Right.
Because then the question becomes, okay,
do you trade up?
Yes. Are you willing to give up a player? Because it's probably going to cost you one of your thirds, probably that 100th overall. Now are you going to move up? Because to move up to 15, where you sit at 22, to move up to 15 would cost you next year's first round pick. So you're not going to do that. So once they get past 15, Devontae Smith, J.C. Horn, now we have to have a conversation. But in this draft, obviously, neither guy does. So the other guys you're passing on here are Samuel Cosmi, 26 to Kansas City, tackle Landon Dickerson, center out of Alabama, Alex Leatherwood, guard Alabama, and then you get back on the clock at 29.
I'm fine with all of that.
And you're getting an extra player.
Who can be a corner or a tight end.
So, I mean, I love the bag on Joe Rexroad. I think this is how the draft's going to play out. Now, again, I think you prepare for all of the curveballs that could come. If Ojulari is there at 22, you take him. If Phillips is there at 22, you take him. If, again, one of those high-end corners, Patrick Surtain II. I mean, the question you got to have is, how do you feel about the medicals on Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech? Guy opted out last year. The medicals are a question mark. He goes at 31 to Cleveland in a trade with Kansas City in this mock draft. But Caleb Farley is available at 31. So I look at this and I say, yes, this is kind of the, I think this is the outline. This is the blueprint for Thursday night. Circle the guys that you just absolutely can't live without. Ojulari, Phillips, J.C. Horn, you know, like a top tier. And if none of those guys are there, you know you can move down and you get an extra player. Joe Rexroad was talking about that trade and the imaginary athletic beat writer GM of the Green Bay Packers this morning on Robbie and Rexroad explaining this. Here's what he said.
There are a variety of different directions the Titans could go, including trading down, which you've done in your latest mock draft when it comes out on The Athletic. Came out a little earlier. You've traded down and executed a trade with my beloved Green Bay Packers to move down to 29 in the first round.
Very exciting. I was very excited that the fake GM of the Packers was willing to trade with me, the fake GM of the Titans. And your Packers get Jeremiah Owusu from Notre Dame.
They need a linebacker. Hate that pick. I would like to see a receiver at some point selected. Now, in that mock draft, the Packers did take your boy Rondale Moore the second round.
Gosh.
Which that gets me fired up.
Rex Rondale should be here, and maybe he still will be.
Maybe so. Who did you take in the first round of this pick?
I went with the other Moore, and honestly, I mean, I got to give TD, TD credit. TD has got some strong feelings on that, and I do think that if you're picking there, I see why Elijah Moore would be a little bit more well-rounded and a little bit more of a sure thing than Rondale Moore. I still would fear the Rondale Moore taking the league by storm scenario because I think he could. I really do. But there's the injury thing. There's the size thing. There's the really lack of – I mean, his usage at Purdue was very, very restricted. He wasn't really a route runner. And Elijah Moore did a lot more than that at Ole Miss, and there's a certain reliability with Ole Miss receivers. And, Elijah Moore looked up to A.J. Brown as a freshman when Brown was a junior, and now they could reunite. There's a lot to like about that, especially if you can go down to get him. So I think the versatility of Elijah Moore, a little bit more sure thing to him than Rondale Moore, but still it pains me.
That pained me. Listening to Joe not explain the most important aspect, which is how he got to it. So, again, I and you know what? Now I'm glad because I'm mad at Joe again. But
I almost didn't recognize you for a second.
I mean, here I am listening. Joe's like, dude, this isn't about the players per se. This is about kind of the situation you're going to find yourself in, which is the idea that you can trade back and add a player and the thought process of what it will take. And I think this is the blueprint for Thursday night. What would I love to have Thursday night? I hear that Devontae Smith might be dropping because he's 166 pounds. Let's just drop old Devontae Smith on down to 22. I'd feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, whoever picks him up from the teams who didn't want him because of his size, I think that is cha-ching. You got yourself something really, really good for a good bargain.
Unless he gets hurt. But I'm with you. I think Devontae Smith's a baller. And I don't think Devontae Smith is going to fall that much because of his weight. But unless something crazy like that happens, this, I think, is probably the plan. Add an extra player. Everybody tells me, no, Jared, we need corners. No, Jared, we need tight ends. Well, trade down, add an extra player. You can get a tight end. You can get a corner. You can get another pass rusher. They may not be great, but it's more shots at it. And I think that's probably more of what the Titans need than just the guy to come in here today and make a huge difference. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Goodness. I mean, Joe Rexroad. Oh, my goodness. I am not going to sit here and bag on Joe. But you make a good pick. You have your own radio show. You make a good pick. I thought about saying, you know, should we bring Joe on to talk about the decision behind doing this? And I was like, no, Ryan said they'd talk about it at a certain time. And instead of talking about it, Joe's like, well, you know, I think I like Elijah Moore more than Rondale Moore. And I mean, no one's taking Rondale Moore in the first round, Joe. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
poor Joe Rexroad.
I just want to know, at what point did you say in that mock draft you wanted to trade? That's what I want to know. Because I do wonder, what is the moment? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. We're starting on the Titans draft. We got some Preds this hour to get into as well. 615-737-1025. We are live on Twitter and Twitch and YouTube, Facebook, whatever. We're on it all. Stillman and Company, we're live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we are streaming on the Game Nashville app. We have breaking news. Apparently, there is a trade in the NFL, according to Adam Schefter. First round trade. By the way, it's a draft trade. It is a legitimate draft. Thank you. We have a trade on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Orlando Brown, the tackle, who was a right tackle, moved over to left tackle when Ronnie Stanley got hurt with the Ravens last year, wants to play left tackle. Orlando Brown, Zeus Jr., gets traded to Kansas City for their first-round pick and a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick and a fifth-rounder next year. So Orlando Brown and a second-rounder for a first, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. So forget about that. Basically, a first-round pick goes from the Chiefs to the Ravens. Now, Caroline Fenton, the Ravens are sitting at 27 and 29. Do we think that they used one of those picks they got to recoup the tackle they lost? You know, draft Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State, Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan? Or do we think the Ravens are acquiring two first-round picks in this to go ahead and jump a bunch of people and go get somebody pretty good?
You know, I am a needs person, so I would say, you know, probably take one of their picks and fill that hole that you just created by trading Orlando Brown. But they could be up to something. I mean, trading two first-round picks, especially to a team that needs a lot of first-round picks, possibly the Texans, who don't draft until, what, the fifth round. So they could be using that as leverage and say, hey, we'll give you two late first round picks and move up high in the first round.
I mean, I think that
get someone great.
And I would have to pull up the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, but I think two first round picks, if you want to move the board, and we were just talking about guys who are going to fall, and we're talking about, okay, if Azeez Ojulari starts to fall, I think this puts pressure on the Titans for a couple of reasons, and here's why. Number one, you know, in Joe Rexroad's scenario of trading back, this would be okay because it would pass the first Baltimore pick, but not the second. So if Baltimore's looking to get a wide receiver, and we know Baltimore needs help at wide receiver, then they'd get one shot at taking Elijah Moore, but they wouldn't get the second shot. But if Baltimore wants a pass rusher, and again, I don't like Quiddy Pay out of Michigan. I have not heard one person who I know knows their stuff who will bang the table for Quiddy Pay. I've heard it for Ojulari. I've heard it for Jalen Phillips. The Ravens lose Yannick Ngakoue, and they lose Matthew Judon. They're looking at Tennessee and Indianapolis, both in the pass rusher market, at 21 and 22. I wonder if Baltimore's thinking about this. Now, they did deal their second-round pick already as part of that trade. So all they did was they gained a third, a fourth, and then the first rounder. I don't know. You know, is this one of those ones where TD has said that he thinks that Azeez Ojulari is the younger version of Yannick Ngakoue? So you lose Yannick Ngakoue, and then you replace him with Azeez Ojulari, and you jump the Titans in order to do it. But again, I'm not sure. Is Azeez Ojulari worth two picks? Because to me, Azeez Ojulari is not worth two picks.
No.
I mean, the only guy I would consider being worth two picks is, like, if Ja'Marr Chase got to 12. Now I think, okay, like, would you use your first rounder next year to go get him? Or if Kyle Pitts falls to 12. But those are just things I just don't see likely to happen. But I would say this. I think we need to start. This is just me. I think we need to start considering the rate. Like, we need to focus in on, we always focus in on the Colts. And if the Texans are good, we'll worry about them and the Jags. I mean, I think that this has ramifications for the Titans for two teams that I consider to be competitors. Kansas City, obviously the top team in the AFC, who clearly is going all in right now. They pay the guard a bunch of money. They trade a first rounder for the tackle. They've got their quarterback paid. They've got their receiver paid. They've got their tight end paid. I mean, and we know why Kansas City's going for it. They should. But Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis. I think those are the five teams that I think we should be concerning ourselves with right now. I'm not concerned with Pittsburgh right now.
Pittsburgh is getting a running back in the first round, and I feel like that's almost a sealed deal.
See, I don't know why I would say that they're for sure getting a running back.
They need a running back.
You can get a running back in the second round. You can get a running back in the third round.
Well, if you can get Najee Harris in the first round, you get Najee Harris.
You can get an undrafted free agent. I heard Matt Miller today on Get Up talking about this running back out of North Carolina, and he looked like a junior Derrick Henry out there. I mean, if I can get that in the second round and I can get a premium position in the first round, I think if I'm Pittsburgh, I'd do it. I'm not circling any team and saying they're taking blank, except 1, 2, and 3. That quarterback. That I already know. But outside of that, I'm not going to take Indianapolis and say, well, they need, so they're going to go take. Maybe they will. But I think we've been surprised by teams that, you know, yeah, Najee Harris may be the best player on the board, but it's a running back in the first round. So, again, I think we need to worry about this. I think that this is a big move for both sides, especially, in my opinion, I think it's a big move in the direction of Baltimore. Is there a second move that comes off of this, or does Baltimore take the tackle with the 29th pick and say, okay, instead of having to give Orlando Brown a left tackle contract, we are going to draft a guy, and for the next 5 years, we're not going to have to worry about paying that position the way that we've had to pay it before. Then again, last year, the Titans took a tackle at 28. And he's not even in the league anymore. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get to your thoughts on all of this. It is Fireball Hot Take Friday. So then again, after all, it is your day here on Stillman & Company. I had a good talk with John Hines. He had a nice little press conference. I obviously asked the most questions. But nice little talk with John Hines, so we'll touch on that as well. 615-737-1025 Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me tell you about my friends at Edmunds. Buying or selling a car is one of the biggest financial decisions you can make. Edmunds will take the headaches and guesswork out of car shopping for you. They're pros. They've been helping people like you and me for over 50 years. Edmunds.com was the first auto information website. They're experts, that's right, in buying and selling. I don't like test driving cars. It takes too long for me. That's why you need to trust my friends at Edmunds. They test drive over 300 new vehicles a year, reviewing almost every car on the market so you can narrow down your search to their top-ranked SUVs, trucks, and more. I absolutely love it because it takes the hassle out of, I don't know, should I try this, should I try that? No, just go to Edmunds. It will work. Whether you're just browsing or know exactly what you want, Edmunds gives you that extra boost of confidence. Visit Edmunds.com to get started. Because for cars, there's Edmunds. Again, check them out. Edmunds. Get those cars taken care of. Get those top-ranked cars. They test drive all of them. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, John, I just wondered last night, after the tough loss on Wednesday, how much did it pick you guys up to see that Detroit had knocked off Dallas, and how much scoreboard watching do you guys do this time of year?
You do watch it because where you're in the race, you know, and I think you do watch games. It's actually been nice, Jared, because, you know, prior to the schedule, it was almost like all the Central Division games were all played and we were playing. So you didn't really have a chance to watch them. So last night we did watch the game. You know, we relaxed a little bit and saw it. I thought Detroit played well, but obviously it helps. You know, any wins against Dallas can help us. So you certainly pay attention to that. But I think the most important thing, like we talked with the players, is, you know, we have to make sure that we win our game. So even if, you know, Detroit beats Dallas, but we don't take care of our business, it doesn't do us much good. But it's always exciting to see a team that you're competing against, you know, not win a game or get any points out of the game.
Oh, my goodness. I just love it. John Hines admitting to scoreboard watching. We never see this. We never see the coach actively admit to scoreboard watching. And here's John Hines. I will say this about John Hines. I've been tough on John Hines, man, at a lot of different junctures. But at least he gives you something when he talks. Like, at least he treats you like a respectable adult, unlike others who don't. And I, you know, at least, hey, last night, they were scoreboard watching. Dallas, how about the Detroit Red Wings 7-3 last night? Now, I couldn't watch a game. See, I got the good and the bad from watching last night. By the way, let me just note that they will be giving away a pair of tickets for Monday's game in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. I believe that is the pregame show. So, anywho, so think about this. Like, it's crazy. I have ESPN Plus, and one of the things that ESPN Plus brags about is we got all these hockey and baseball games. But it doesn't really do much for me because you can't pick which hockey and baseball games to watch. So, like, last night, the Mets were playing the Cubs. I don't care about that game. And so I'm just trying to, like, I really wanted to watch the Detroit-Dallas game. I'm not buying the NHL package to watch one Detroit-Dallas game. So I watched Carolina play Florida. And I got to tell you, that was a tough game. Both sides. I mean, that looked like a playoff game. And I watched it, and Carolina just out-toughed Florida, and Carolina beat them. I think they had an empty netter at the end to win like 4-2. And I'm sitting there saying, after watching that game last night and watching Carolina last week, I mean, it's all great trying to get into the playoffs. I'm having fun with the idea of trying to get into the playoffs, but I'm going to keep it real. I think the Carolina Panthers might win the Stanley Cup. I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes might win the Stanley Cup.
I mean, I think that the Florida Panthers are a better team than the Predators, and the Florida Panthers still lost by 2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, they looked really good against them, but Carolina just continues to beat up all these really talented teams.
And, again, I mean, it was a close game. It was an empty net, you know, a one-goal game with an empty netter at the end. But I got to tell you, I mean, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, man, they're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs. But that doesn't take away from Dallas losing last night to Detroit.
7-3.
And I think there's a net positive here. Even though the loss on Wednesday night was catastrophic, you still lost in overtime. So you got a point. When we factored in having to play Dallas or having to compete with Dallas for that fourth spot, forget about the Carolina Hurricanes right now, because you won't have to worry about them until you make the playoffs, if you do make the playoffs. Or I guess those last two games of the year before the playoffs.
Right.
But just as far as making it, I don't think any of us assumed Dallas was going to lose in regulation to Detroit. If I had guessed it, I would have said, okay, the Predators are going to pick up 2 points Wednesday night when they're up 4-1. Dallas is going to pick up 2 points on Thursday when they play crappy Detroit. And so for Detroit to beat them, that's -2 for Dallas, plus your loss was in overtime, so it's +1. So I think it's a net positive of a point that you didn't expect to have after, well, you absolutely dumped yourself on Wednesday night. So I love it. I loved it last night. Big one for the Predators. And here's how big it is. Here's what MoneyPuck.com says. And again, I'm going to keep referencing these guys. And I don't think this is analytics. I just think this is a percent chance. I heard somebody called into the midday show saying that I only like analytics when they're in my favor. I'm like, no. Percent chance you make the playoffs, that's not analytics. The New York Times, the New York Times playoff percentage meter or whatever, the simulations they run in the NFL, that's not analytics. Telling me that Ryan Ellis is better than Matthias Ekholm and using numbers I've never heard of, those are analytics. I don't need analytics for the actual games. Like, I know Ronald Acuna is good. You know why? Because he hits a home run every time he comes up to bat. So, anywho, according to MoneyPuck.com, if the Predators beat the Hawks in regulation tonight, the Predators will have a 60.5% chance of making the playoffs. If they lose to the Hawks, they will have a 36.4% chance of making the playoffs.
Whoa, so it's a big drop off.
You're talking about essentially a 25-point swing in terms of percentage points whether or not you make the playoffs based upon what happens in regulation tonight. So last night was great for the Predators. Here's tonight's game. After everything bad that happened Wednesday, and they'll be the first to tell you, you just got to brush it off and you just got to move on, a 24 percentage point swing in tonight's game. What do you think?
I mean, I think that the Predators absolutely positively need a win tonight, and that's not an overtime win. I mean, if Chicago gains another point from this game, you know, whatever. As long as the Predators can get 2 points from this game, that's so vital. That's one of the highest percentage points we've seen for the Predators getting into the playoffs in the past few days that we've been looking at this percentage. So, yeah, it's huge.
So I'm going to say...
And very much so doable.
I'm going to say this. This is... Take all the numbers out of it. Take the money puck stuff out of it. I have a hard time believing the Predators are going to make the playoffs if they lose tonight.
And if they lose tonight, they took half the points from the series when they needed 4 or 5.
They probably needed 5 or 6. And that's the tough part. If they lose tonight, you know, I kept thinking, okay, if the Predators win both games with Chicago and Dallas wins the games they're supposed to against Detroit, then I felt like that was going to kind of make that May 1st game, the game next Saturday, was going to kind of make that a, you know, I don't want to say for all the marbles, but I kind of felt like that was the game. That next Saturday was the game. That, okay, they take care of their business against Detroit. You take care of your business against Chicago. You guys are going to play Florida and Carolina, and, you know, everyone's going to beat up on everybody. The winner of May 1st, Preds and Stars, goes to the playoffs. I'm thinking today, and again, crazy things can happen, but I kind of feel in my heart, like if the Predators win tonight, I feel really freaking good about their chances of making the playoffs. In fact, if they win tonight in regulation, I think they're going to the playoffs. If they lose tonight in regulation, I don't feel good about it. I'm not going to write them off and say they're not going to go to the playoffs, but I would say I don't feel good about it at all. I think they go to the playoffs if they win tonight. Tonight is one of those games for me where if they win, if they play the way they played for the first two periods and they do it for an entire game tonight and take care of the Blackhawks and essentially knock them out, then I feel like they're going to make the playoffs because I think Dallas had to have all of the Detroit games and all of the Detroit points, and they're not going to get it.
Yeah, I would say that if the Predators lose tonight, then they are going to be forced to steal one of those games against Florida. They're going to be forced to win that game in Dallas. So if they lose tonight, I'm not counting them out, but it definitely makes their road much more difficult in the future. And I would feel much better if the Predators could go into these series against Florida and go into these series against Carolina later in the season. And then this game against Dallas, I would feel so much better about them going into it, knowing that they had that cushion from the Chicago series. Taking 5 out of 6 points gives you a much better cushion going into these difficult games coming up.
I just think tonight is the night. You win tonight, I think you're getting into the playoffs. You win in regulation tonight, I think you're getting in. I do. I know it's going to sound crazy because people are going to say, wait a minute, Jared, you said that last night's game or Wednesday night's game was catastrophic, and I didn't expect the Dallas Stars to lose to the Detroit Red Wings. And I hear the cliches all the time where people say, you know, one game doesn't, it's not the end all be all one game. And now the cliches coming now are, hey, every night's a playoff game now. Well, if every game's a playoff game, then damn it, tonight is a big one. And again, a 24% swing of you making the playoffs or not by winning today. Not to mention, Chicago's chances of making the playoffs, if they win in regulation, are 11%. If they lose, they're 2. So, you know, you had the finish 'em blow that you didn't take the other night with Chicago. You get another chance at it again. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Calls and texts, Titans and Preds. We'll get to your thoughts next because it is your day on Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025. Again, they'll be giving away tickets in the 6 o'clock hour tonight for the Preds game on Monday night against the Florida Panthers. And tune in later on in the show. We'll reveal a keyword for you to text into the game text line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate giveaway. A Dos Equis prize pack, including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We got Titans in the draft on one hand. We got the Preds on the other. And I am putting it out there. Somebody texted me and said, whatever you do, Jared, if they win, one of my friends texted me and said, Jared, whatever they do, if they win tonight, do not say the Predators are making the playoffs on Twitter because you learned your lesson the other day. And I thought, when have I ever learned my lesson in anything? Like, in all seriousness. Now, I will say this. When the prostitute, the crack whore broke into my house, in my old house, I learned my lesson. I got a state-of-the-art security system after
that. I feel like that's one of those things that you're kind of forced to learn your lesson on. You never want that to happen to you twice.
No.
So that's one of those things that I understand.
No, it's not. In fact, I used to, like, when I'd come home, I would, like, sometimes feel, like, a little nervous. And I would, like, have the flashlight on, and I'd, like, call my dad on my phone, be like, hey, just so you know, on the phone with me, I'm just, okay, going in this
That's
room.
Understandable. Right, I mean, prostitutes breaking into your home really does things to a guy. I understand.
Quite the situation. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got the draft. We got the Preds all on the table. Again, I think if the Predators win tonight, I think they're going to the playoffs after Dallas lost last night to Detroit. Caroline, what is on our text line?
One texter says, one thing in the Predators' favor is that seven of Dallas's last 10 games are on the road, and they are tough ones as well. So that really bodes in the Predators' favor.
So what really got me about this whole playoff chase, and this is where I guess in theory Dallas could wrangle it back, is we looked at Dallas's schedule. And a week and a half ago, when it was Columbus, Columbus, Detroit, 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 as a Predators fan, you looked at it and you thought, oh, God, that is just brutal. But then after it, it's Carolina, it's Tampa Bay, it's the Predators, it's Carolina, I believe, it's Florida, it's the good teams. You know, they have to play the good teams after they get over the stretch of playing the bad teams. But they were just so automatic in taking those points against the bad teams that I felt like the Predators had to recoup their points against the bad teams as well. And when the Predators blew it the other night, I kind of felt like, oh man, they really missed their opportunity to keep pace to force some serious action in a 4-point swing game on May 1st. Then Dallas went and lost to Detroit last night, 7-3. And I think that's a humongous swing in the Predators' favor. Again, going into it, if you had taken the, okay, Predators win in regulation, get 2 points Wednesday night, Dallas wins in regulation, gets 2 points against Detroit on Thursday night, that is a net zero. You get 1 point Wednesday night, Dallas loses in regulation, that is a positive plus one. So it actually is better than what we thought it was going to be, even if they had won the game.
Another texter says, what if the Preds win tonight in overtime?
It's an interesting question. I mean, in theory,
I think a win's a win for the Predators at this point.
The overtime element of it only matters in reference to the Blackhawks. It doesn't matter to the Stars. I mean, right now, again, according to MoneyPuck, the MoneyPuck.com, the Chicago Blackhawks have a 6.7% chance of making the playoffs. So they don't have a very high percent. And I don't know about you. I felt like the other night, Caroline, was kind of like the death blow had you finished them off. Had you won the game 4-1, dominated them in their own building, I really feel like that would have been the kiss of death. If they win in overtime, or what? Wait, the question was winning in regulation, or, okay.
Winning in overtime.
Okay, so if the Predators win in overtime, then that 6% chance 6.7% chance for Chicago drops to 4%. But again, that only affects Chicago. So I guess in theory, an overtime win doesn't really matter today. All that really matters tonight is the idea that the Predators win, period.
I think if you get 2 points, it's 2 points. That's really all that matters. And I don't think the extra points that Chicago would accumulate tonight would really affect their playoff chances.
Are we not worrying about Chicago at this point?
I would have worried if Chicago swept the Predators and if they continue to accumulate points down the road. But so I'm not counting them out, but I'm also not worrying about them as much as I would be worrying about the Dallas Stars.
What else is in the text line?
Another texter texted into the text line and said, what is if Dallas wins out these games against Detroit, what does that mean for the Predators?
I mean, what, they've got one game left against Detroit? I don't think it really means anything. I mean, again, unless you lose, and then you're not keeping pace with Dallas, who will win. But to be completely frank, I'm not sure it really matters. This is their last game with Detroit, right? They had four in a row, and then so tomorrow night is their last game against Detroit, and then it's the big boys. So this is where, you know, for the last 2 weeks when we've looked at the Dallas schedule and we thought, oh, no, Columbus and Detroit. Well, all those games are now over after Saturday. So I'm not really scoreboard watching here. I mean, I will be, but unless you lose. If you lose, then yeah, you need Dallas to lose to Detroit if you lose. This is all about keeping up pace and keeping things going in the right direction.
I'll flip that question. If the Stars lose tonight, are you going to count them out?
You mean tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I'm sorry. Yes, tomorrow.
I mean, it depends on what the Predators do. Like, I'm not counting them out today. So if the Predators lose
win
to Chicago.
And Dallas loses.
Yeah, I think it's probably over for Dallas. Because then they're going to hit a patch, and then they've got to win here, you know, on May 1st. And if they don't, then, yeah, I kind of think that one's probably – like, I think the hay is in the barn at that point if they lose another one to Detroit. I mean, you can't look at your schedule and have to play Detroit. Like, the thing about games in hand, which is what Dallas has, because they started the year with the COVID issue, and then, like, 3 weeks into the season – had that bizarre winter storm in Texas that stopped them from playing a handful of games. So they've always had games in hand on the Predators. The thing about games in hand, though, is that you actually have to win when you have those games in hand. So if they lose to Detroit, you're not beating the Red Wings. You're not going to get into the playoffs. There are certain things that if you do in sports, like, you're just not going to make the playoffs, or you're just not going to get past into the playoffs. And this is one right here where if you can't beat the Red Wings, you don't deserve to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think I would necessarily count them out 100%, but I would definitely feel better going forward if I was the Predators. Another texter said, Colorado's last 20 games, they're 18-1-2. Predators need to win every game the rest of the way, which is 8. Every loss from here on out is a devastating one. That also goes for Dallas and Chicago. I mentioned Colorado because one of those three teams to win a playoff spot need a hot streak the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that I can't look at those last two games against the Carolina Hurricanes and say that I'm expecting the Predators to win them right now. I watched Carolina play Florida last night on ESPN+. They are freaking good.
I wouldn't expect the Preds to beat Carolina. I expect them to lose, and they would be exceeding my expectations if they win, and I think that would give them a good cushion, but I'm not expecting that right now.
No, they are freaking good. So you have to take into account that you're going to lose those games. But you also have to make the assumption that Dallas is going to lose those games. So that's where I said this at the beginning of the season. It's so funny how the season plays out, because everybody loves, and especially Preds Twitter, and especially, like, I think there's like a segment of the Preds media that's not really media, if that makes any sense. Like, it's not traditional media from the standpoint of it's not radio hosts, it's not TV people, it's not writers for publications that are, and this doesn't discredit them or say that they don't count, but there is a portion of their media that I think just gets the most attention by talking about me. Like, I think that they look at it like, hey, if we can just take shots at Jared Stillman, we're going to get the most attention. I understand that. I see the same thing in politics all the time. But I think one thing that they like love to do is they love to always say like, oh, Jared Stillman is always wrong all the time. I came into the season and I said I had no expectations for the 2021 Nashville Predators. So making the playoffs or going deep into the playoffs or going to win the cup, or like, there was nothing like that I felt. For the 2021 Tennessee Titans, I have expectations that you make the playoffs, and I have expectations that you are more competitive in this playoffs than you were in last year's playoffs. But I had no expectation. I just said this. I want to know which guys are core players that are actually positive members of the group. I want to see if this coach can coach. I want to see if these young players can play. I want to see if UC Saros can be a starting goalie. I want to see if David Poyle's building the roster in the right direction. And I wanted to take the season to evaluate those things. And I think I've done that for pretty much this year. And now I feel pretty certain about some of these things. I feel pretty certain that John Hines can coach. I feel pretty good about the young players. I'm not sure I love the direction the roster is going in. So those are all different things that I wanted to see during the season, and that's really how it's played out. And I said at the beginning of the year, if you wanted to make the playoffs, you were going to lose to Carolina and Tampa Bay. You were going to have to beat Chicago and Detroit, and then you were going to have to split with Dallas, Columbus, and Florida, and you were going to have to come out more so in those than you lose. And I think that's pretty much how it's played out, although not exactly to that tune. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I keep hearing a lot of stuff surrounding the draft that I just don't, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm thinking maybe people shouldn't waste time listening to things that just are just pie in the sky when it comes to the NFL draft. And yet it's being talked about like it's going to happen. So we'll get to that next here on Stillman and Company. Plus headlines with Carolina's coming up. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Everybody knows how much I love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Why? Because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. That's right. Fireball Cinema Whiskey. No better way to ignite a humongous sports weekend. That's right. We got baseball. We got basketball. We got big hockey. That's right. Even starting tonight. Then with ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Nashville made Fireball famous. So embrace it and ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.